057 Slide American State Trials 1918 Volume X Leo Frank Document. Here is the translated text as follows. Edward D. Worrell, 25. We traced this description until we got to Pittsburgh, where we learned he had shaved. After this, the description was the same except for his beard. Captain J. E. D. Cousins. I reside in St. Louis and am presently employed by insurance companies as an inspector of buildings. I have been in the police force for many years, serving as captain and in other offices. I saw the prisoner for the first time at Dover, Delaware, in a tavern there. Mr. Worrell came with me and one or two others to the railroad there, where we met Mr. Wentz. This watch was in the pocket of a vest on the bed in which Mr. Worrell was sleeping at Dover, Delaware. When we got into the handcar, I handed the watch to Wentz. At a little town depot named Myrna, I asked Worrell whose watch it was, and he said it belonged to Mr. Gordon. I identify this as the same watch. Between Alton and St. Louis on our return, Mr. Wentz again asked me for the watch. There was also a pair of saddlebags together with a trunk in the room, and some other things brought there from Worrell's room, and most of them are now here. Worrell said the saddlebags belonged to Gordon. Cross-examined, I gave the trunk to the prisoner or his friends at the jail in St. Louis. It was a small, common trunk, not very old. We got to Dover on Thursday evening. He was arrested that night between 12 and 2 o'clock. We went into his room and took him out of bed, in his room at the hotel. He had been described to me as having a tattooed mark on his hand and a scar on his cheek. I examined his hand before he got out of bed. He had a piece of sandal. The room was dark. There was another gentleman sleeping in the same room. I was not ready to arrest him before because I wanted no difficulty and wanted to get the deputy sheriff of that county there. There are always more or less difficulties when a person is surrounded by his friends. I did not care about anybody knowing of my arrest of him until I got him. I had warrants for his arrest both in Maryland and from Wilmington, Delaware. He had been described to me as a man with a very large mustache and beard. When I found him, it was shaved off. I found in Baltimore a tailor's shop where he had bought some clothes he got there, a vest, and I got a piece of the cloth of which it was made. He had a pair of military pantaloons in his trunk. We knocked at the door, and the man sleeping by it opened it. I took hold of his hand and examined it. One of us told him he was arrested and to get up. We pulled the clothes off, examined him to see if he had any arms, then made him get out in the middle of the floor and dress himself. He asked what was the matter. He got on his clothes directly, and I took a pair of handcuffs out of my pocket to put on him. He said he would die before he would have such things put on him. I said, "Very well," and desisted, and put them back in my pocket. He made no demonstration of fighting, only talked loud and jumped back a little. He asked why we did not come in the daytime. I told him his parents lived there. It was a very painful matter. And,